Welcome to the ministry of Pastor Jeff Taylor. We hope you will find life-changing truths as you hear today's message. Pastor Taylor believes that no word of God is void of power. Now, let us join a live service already in progress.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. The book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Hallelujah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 54. I'm going to be speaking along the lines this morning of the Think Big generation. The Think Big generation. If you would, I want you to entitle your paper, or on top if you're taking notes, to just write down the Think Big generation. I believe that God is looking for people who will think out of the box. I believe that this is coming to a... We are in a generation right now that God is looking for people who will, instead of scratching their heads and wondering how it could possibly come to pass, who will take God literally when He said, "For with God nothing is impossible." I believe this generation is. I believe there's never been a generation like this generation. I don't believe that there's any generation that has been envied like our generation. I believe all the Old Testament prophets desired and looked into our day and desired to be in this day. I believe that all the old patriarchs of the Old Testament and of even of Jesus' day looked to our day and said, man, if we had only lived during that time. I've heard Christians all the time say that I wish I could have lived in Jesus' day. I wish I could have lived around and saw Moses' shining face or lived around Abraham. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't desire to go back to those days. I desire to live in the day that I'm living in now, because the Bible records that this is a day and this is a time like nothing, and it's going to take people like you, like me, who are going to think bigger than any and take the divine revelation that with God nothing is impossible. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm happy and excited about this message. I believe we are the biggest thinkers God's ever had on this planet. I believe it. We've already stepped on the moon. We've already sent stuff to Mars. And, you know, in technology, in the world of science, they're thinking bigger than they've ever thought. But you know what? Sometimes I think the church, if we're not careful, that we could slide into that, you know, that we're just doing the same old thing we did 20 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, look around you. We've got telecommunications traveling. We have access on a public basis. Here in America, on a public basis, we have access to the globe. We have access around the world. But ladies and gentlemen, it's going to take that kind of thinking for us as a Christian body. It's going to take that kind of thinking that was going to bring back Jesus. It's going to take people. And our success in the days ahead is going to be determined by how big we can think. You ought to write that down. Our success in the days ahead will be determined by how big you can think. I believe that. I believe with all my heart. We are a generation that's thoroughly convinced that through our God, we can do great things. Daniel said that these people, this generation, is going to be those people who shall know their God and will do great exploits by Him. I believe that we're that generation. But in Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 2 and 3 says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." God desires to visit people who don't know Him and inhabit cities that are spiritually desolate. But there's one thing that's stopping Him. How many know that God wants to save everybody? Don't you know God wants to visit the people that don't know Him? But there's one thing that's stopping Him. There's one thing that's stopping Him from visiting Marietta, from visiting Atlanta. There's one thing stopping, and that is our small thinking. the Bible says here that he said he wants to inhabit. He said, he and thy seed shall inherit the Gentile. In other words, we can grow, we can have the people that don't know him, that we can literally inherit them. And the Bible says in Psalms chapter 2, verse 8, he said, ask of me and I will give you the nations. I will give you the Gentile. I'll give you the heathen for an inheritance. And the Bible says here again that we will inherit those Gentiles, that we can grow our church simply because if we change our thinking to think bigger than we've ever thought, he said, we will not only inherit the Gentiles, but he said he will inhabit desolate cities. The ones that he will inhabit, those cities that are left waste. Amen. God is saying, I want you to think big. Write that down. God is saying, I want you to think big. God is challenging us in this verse to begin expect him to do things in our life in the days to come that we've never seen before. In other words, don't limit God by thinking small. Anyone ever read that scripture in Isaiah? It says, you have limited the Holy One. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if Israel could limit their Holy One, how many know that the children of God can also limit him by not allowing him and not thinking that he can do anything bigger than simply get us by? That's good preaching, Pastor. If Israel can limit him, then we can limit him. How do they limit him? By simply having a little bitty God. Ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. Some people now in words and in consciously, they will say, I believe in a great big God and a little bitty devil. But in other words, when they go to challenging circumstances of life, sometimes they're working angles. If I can just do this, and if I could just do that, and if I can get this loan officer to help me here, and I can get these people to help me here, if I can get this and work this together. Ladies and gentlemen, when God wants to do something, he wants someone that says, God, you're a great big God, and you can do whatever it is that I think. And the Bible says, if you can think it up, the Bible says he can, literally, he's bigger than that. If you can think it up, he's bigger than that. And now, in preparing this message, I was like, well, Lord, you know, I can think pretty big. I can think pretty big. And he says, I can think bigger than that. Now, Lord, I could think so big that some could even possibly accuse me of being a dreamer. He said, I'm still bigger than that. Joseph was a dreamer. Moses was a dreamer. Abraham was a dreamer. Hey, anybody that leaves his father's house and says, I'm going to show you a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm going to make you a nation. And he said, God told him, I'm going to make your seed like the sands of the seashore. I'm going to make your seed like the stars of heaven. And anybody that leaves his father's house on that promise had to be a dreamer. Do you think that Abraham really could think of how many sands were on the seashore? Do you think he could count how many stars there were? It's bigger than he could think. And ladies and gentlemen, God wants to do something for you and for me in this last day generation that is bigger than you and I can put together. It's bigger than you than I can think up. It's bigger than you and I. We're just wanting to get out of debt, but God's wanting us to bless every family in the earth through us. God, he doesn't want to just pay your rent. He wants to get you so super abundantly blessed that you are a blessing to everybody you come in contact. He doesn't just want your body healed. He wants you walking in divine health so you never, ever have to worry about health care systems. He's interested in doing something bigger than what you can think. God is challenging us in this verse to begin to expect him to do things in our lives. But the Hebrew word enlarge, look, go, if you would, write this down. The Hebrew word enlarge, the Bible says, verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent. The word enlarge here is the literal Hebrew, in the literal Hebrew, means to broaden or to get a broader view. In other words, God is saying, broaden your horizons. Dream bigger dreams. Now, why would you dream bigger dreams if the dreams that you've had have not come to pass? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's probably because your dreams are too small. If God did your dream that you've got now, you could say, well, you know, I see how He worked it out. And, you know, really, God wants you to dream so big that you have something that if it does come to pass, and when it does come to pass, that you can say it was not by might, it was not by power, it had to be by God Himself, because some of us are not dreaming big enough. And He said, I want a bigger dream so that I can show you just how big a God I am. Amen. Do you remember when you couldn't believe God to meet all your needs? Do you remember where you were at before you were at the place now? Do you remember how far you've come, but you got around people that started telling you about what God could do? You started getting around some big thinkers. You started getting around people that started broadening your view, broadening your horizons. And ladies and gentlemen, what happens is now you expect it. Things that you couldn't believe for before, now you expect them. Anybody know what I'm talking about here this morning? You expect it, and now it doesn't seem impossible anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a day that I couldn't rub two nickels together. There was times that I had to go down to the convenience store to find the old, outdated, expired sandwiches that they were going to throw out so that I could have something to eat. I've been there. Now, there's a lot of people that, you know, they'll talk about, you know, it's one thing to write a book about being poor. It's one thing to, you know, talk about ever having to be poor. But ladies and gentlemen, when you're there, there ain't no need to read a book. There's no reason to write a book. There's no, because nobody wants to be there. And ladies and gentlemen, I remember the day that I asked God, when I was coming home from Bible school, I said, God, I have not had meat in 3 months. And I caught this breeze that was coming down from the fried chicken place, and it just said to me, you haven't had chicken for so long. And I just, in my heart, I said, Lord, I said, I haven't had chicken. You know, I like chicken. I'm called to preach. And that's a requirement to call to preach, is to love chicken. You got to love chicken if you're called to preach. It just goes hand in hand. And I got to ask the Lord, and in my heart, I said, Lord, I'm at this school learning about You, learning about faith. And I said, I believe that I had chicken. I believe I have chicken today. I didn't have a dollar to go buy a chicken leg. I didn't have any money to go buy any chicken. And you know what happened? I went on home. I got changed out of my school clothes and I went to the refrigerator, and all there was, well, I opened up the cupboard and it was spaghetti noodles, and in the refrigerator was a thing of butter. And I had been living on spaghetti noodles and butter for weeks. It's amazing how far you can go on top ramen noodles. And I looked at that thing and I said, no. I shut the refrigerator, I closed the cupboard, and I said, I don't want this, I want chicken. And you'll never believe this. My college roommate walked in, and guess what he had? And it made me so... I went in my room. I said, in the name of Jesus, I will not covet his chicken. I'm not going to covet his chicken. I know that you love me as much as you love him, and I believe God for some chicken. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my roommate walked in and says, you know, when I was standing in line, he said, something told me that I needed to get you some. And man, I'm telling you what, that was like God had heard me that day. He heard my desire. He knew how much it meant to me. And he said, I'm not going to disappoint Jeff today. I'm not going to disappoint my boy today. He's believing me for some chicken. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a long time since I had to believe God for chicken. It's been a long time. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something. It's then, it was a big thing. It was a big thing for me to have that. But today, I've come a little bit farther so that I don't have to believe God for chicken. If I want some chicken, I can go get some chicken, and I expect it. It's not impossible to me anymore. But ladies and gentlemen, we cannot get into a comfort zone of growth and in our pattern of growth that we get comfortable with the status quo. But God says, I want you to dream big and dream bigger than you've ever dreamed, because what I did in bringing you to this point, I'll take you even further and take you to the point that you cannot take credit for anything that happens in your life. Amen, 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 amen. Now, the word stretch, if you would notice here in verse 2, it says, enlarge the place of your tent and stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. He said here, the word stretching means there to go beyond. In other words, don't stay where you are. Don't ever become spiritually satisfied, but because there's always another plateau. Stretching is not always comfortable. How many know that? Stretching, being stretched, is not always comfortable, but it's the way we grow. It's God's way of keeping our faith active. It's God's way of taking us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. In other words, start believing God for something bigger than you've ever believed Him for. Amen? Believe God this year that you're going to be able to do more, give more, set a goal. Put a goal out there. Matter of fact, while the Spirit of God's speaking to you right now, while we're in this, you ought to just write in the margin a little goal that you have. Maybe it looks impossible for you to be debt-free. But maybe actually it doesn't look impossible anymore. Maybe you're closer being debt-free. Why don't you begin to believe God to give so much in the upcoming year, or to do so much in the upcoming year? Do something above it. Do something bigger than what you've ever... Set a goal, and God will meet you. There is something I've learned. One thing about God is that if you'll purpose in your heart about something, He will meet you where you purpose your heart. If you don't purpose your heart for anything, He'll meet you there. If you purpose your heart to do something big, He'll meet you there. But it's like Brother Hagin used to tell us. He said, I'd rather shoot for the stars and at least reach the moon than to shoot for nothing and get all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe you don't get to the stars in the first leg of it. But at least you get further than where you were. And it's going to take us dreaming bigger and thinking bigger. Not just so much dreaming, but thinking. Glory to God. I hope you get a hold of this. Believe God this year. I've learned that if I purpose in my heart that He will take care of it. Now, spare not. He says here, He said, enlarge the place of thy tent. Stretch forth the curtains of the habitation. Spare not, and the word spare not, or the phrase spare not, means to don't give up the use of. Don't give up the use of. Please write that down. Don't give up the use of this. In other words, don't go without what God says is yours. Don't be left out of something that is rightfully yours. Don't get talked out of it. Don't think yourself out of it. Well, you know, I can't have this, so I'll just settle for this. Don't think that way. God says, don't spare it. Don't spare it. Don't go without it. I intended you to have it all. Remember what He said in what Jesus said in His preaching? He said, whatsoever things you desire, whatsoever. He did not preface it. Religion has prefaced it. Religion has told you, well, you know, now God will meet your needs, but He won't give you your desire. God speaks more about giving you your desires than He does about your needs. Yeah, I know Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. But it also says that He will give you the desires of your heart. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, yet He will not cause the righteous to want any good thing. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, in another place in Psalms, He said, He delights in the prosperity of His servants. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants your desires to be met. He wants your desires to be. He said, don't do without what is rightfully yours. Glory to God. Do you really believe God wants you to prosper? Do you really believe that God would like to superabundantly bless you beyond your wildest? I'm not talking about jackpot mentality. I'm not talking about lottery mentality. I'm talking about God and you walking in covenant together here on the earth, that as you obey Him and do His will, that He can bless the work of your hands, that He can cause you to be the tree that is planted by rivers of living water, that your leaf will not fade away in its season, but you will stand firm, strong, and that you will be solidly founded in God's promises concerning finances, concerning your marriage, concerning your family, concerning your destiny. I'm telling you, God doesn't want us to do without anything. You know, I started doing that at one time. I started saying, you know, the things that God had spoken to me when I was just a child. I said, well, you know, maybe that was just maybe God was just showing me that because that was what was going to happen in the day. That it wasn't really me, but that it was, you know, it was just Him. It was just, you know, what was going to happen in that day. He said, don't limit me. Ladies and gentlemen, I started talking myself out of it. I started talking myself out of never doing auditoriums. I started talking myself out of never really believing God for much. Just, you know, have a small church, have a little bitty church, have this, just get by. Who are you to think that, you know, the devil? I believe that this stuff is rooted right out of the pit of hell. Who are you? Because I started hearing thoughts. Who are you to think you can do anything big? Who are you? And all of a sudden, all that old man mentality started coming back. You're nothing but a failure. You're nothing special. You're nothing. But ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. You and I both have been notched out for a purpose and a destiny in God that is bigger than what you and I could possibly think or ask. Amen. He's got something for us that's bigger than you think. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's bigger than you think. Now, you might be saying, well, you know, Pastor, I'm still believing God for my rent money. Yes, but that's a starting point. Start there. Start where you're at, but don't stay there. If the more you fellowship with God, the more you get around big thinkers, and the more you get around people who make you stretch, then you will get to the point where you can believe God for anything. You know, I got to the place where I started thinking, well, you know, I'm just going to always have to have payments on a house, always have to have payments on a car. But ladies and gentlemen, while I was preaching to myself last night, because I preach to myself more than I preach to you, I was preaching to myself. I actually do a lot better in private than I do in public. But I was preaching to myself, and I was telling myself. Self, you are going to have more than enough. You are going to be more than enough. You are going to be able to fulfill the destiny. You are going to be able to touch the nations of the world. You are going to be able to do auditorium meetings. You are going to see the sick heal. You are going to see the power of God move in your life. You are going to see people say it. I start preaching to myself, and what I'm telling you is that I've been hanging around some low mentality thinking in my own self. I've been thinking too small my own self. I've been thinking too small. But ladies and gentlemen, God's got some big things for us. God's got some great things for us, and if you'll believe it, God said He'll do it. Glory to God. And turn with me to Isaiah 55. We read this Wednesday night. Isaiah 55. I want you to see this. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts." Higher than your thoughts. Now notice this. God wants to come up to His way of thinking. God wants us to think like He thinks. But you have to spend time in the Word and go through the process of renewing your mind. You have to renew your mind. You're not going to get there super quick. You're not going to get there overnight, but you can spend time thinking bigger. Don't just think, well, you know, if I could just witness one time. Think that thing through first, but then start thinking about winning the whole company. Start thinking about winning everybody. Start thinking about, if it's your finances, yeah, bless God, let's begin at one payment. One credit card payment. Believe God for an extra amount just for that credit card payment. But ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. There has come a time when you say, in the name of Jesus, I believe God for the whole thing to be canceled in Jesus' name. Start small. But we have to come up to His way of thinking. Renewing of the mind causes you to begin to think like God. The Apostle Paul tells us in his writings to the Corinthian church that we have the mind of Christ. If this is true, and it is, then we have the potential to think like God. Our success, I'm going to say it again, in the days ahead will be determined by how big you and I think. Small thinking limits God, and small thinking limits us. Write it down. Not only does small thinking limit God, but small thinking will limit you. If you think small, you'll have it. Remember what Proverbs said, as a man thinks. Please complete the scripture for me. So is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What do you think? What do you think? More importantly, what does God think about it? Because if what you think and what God thinks are different, guess what? You're wrong. Because if God's saying, I want this, well, you know, Lord, I just want you to meet my needs. I'm not really wanting a whole lot. I'm not greedy, and I'm not being prideful. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not being greedy. If you have the motivation that, Lord, I want you to bless me, that every time I come in contact with somebody, I can be a blessing to someone else. Ladies and gentlemen, how can that be greedy? If you have the motivation that I am blessed in order to be a blessing, that's not greed. That is just wanting to be a greater instrument in the hand of God. But ladies and gentlemen, you can't feed the world from an empty plate, and you can't be a miracle maker if you don't have any miracle stuff with you. You can either, and I preached a message some time ago about living in the land or living in the land of needing a miracle and having a breakthrough miracle at 11:59, or being a miracle maker at 11:59. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the times in my life that I have had the 11:59 breakthrough and things that have come to pass at the last second and the last minute. But I would much rather be in this place over here that I can be a miracle in someone else's life at 11:59. But it's going to take us thinking bigger. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I like this one. This is one of my favorites. That's why I left it to the end, towards the end. I only got 12 closings. I'm on my first one. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Religion don't like us talking like this. You know why? Religion wants you to just take life as the cookie crumbles. Life, religion just wants you to expect no more. Well, you know, now if God wants you to have it, then you'll have it. If He doesn't want you to have it, then you won't have it. Ladies and gentlemen, if He wanted you to fly, He'd give you feathers, wouldn't He? Tell that to Orville and Wilbur Wright. If He didn't want you to talk around the world, then why was there an Alexander Graham Bell? If He didn't want us to be able to do, then why the invention of the computer? Why the invention of the air? Why the invention of the modern conveniences? You know, it was not the devil that gave these guys the idea for that. It was not the devil that gave Thomas Edison the idea for the light bulb. Amen? And if God is going to want to give it to anybody, he's going to want to give it to his children. Verse 20 says, "And now unto him who is able to do abundantly above. Everybody say above. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Ladies and gentlemen, God can do exceedingly abundantly above what you think. He doesn't just can't just do what you think. He doesn't just can do what you ask. But God is so big, He can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you ask or think. Now listen real carefully. If you stop right there, you think, oh, marvelous, how great, big our God is. His wonders are around us everywhere. Thank God for the greatness of our God who is so big. But ladies and gentlemen, he didn't stop there. He says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, is that Bible or is that Bible? Is that Bible? Is that Bible? That means he said he'll work that same exceeding abundantly above kind of power in you. But ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to take all this exceeding abundantly above kind of power and he's trying to push it through a small thinking hole like this. And he can't take all that power and push it. There's only so much you can get through that small thing. But ladies and gentlemen, if we'll take the limits off of ourselves and say, like Paul said, I can do all things through him. I don't know about myself, and I don't have a lot of confidence about myself, but this one thing I do know, I can do all things through him. Sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you get to that place where Paul said, I can do all things, ladies and gentlemen, he'll start doing all things. But it's not until... Now, if I was preaching this in Missouri, Missouri is the show me state. In other words, I don't want to believe it until you show me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not how the kingdom of God works. He said, you believe. And then you'll see. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. But he didn't just say that. He said, if you can believe, you shall see the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that I haven't seen the glory of God on yet. I haven't seen the glory of God on certain things. I haven't had all my debts canceled yet, but I'm about to see the glory of God come on that. I haven't seen everything in my destiny I want to see, but I'm about to see the glory of God come on it. Why? Because I've stirred myself up and I said, no more small thinking for me. No more small thinking for Jeff Taylor. No more small thinking for Church Alive. No more small thinking. Why do you think we did all this the way we did it? We're not making room for a little bitty crowd. We're making room for more and more and more because we're thinking bigger than we've ever thought before. We're going to do more than we've ever thought before. Why? Because we're thinking big. We're thinking, because our God can do it. Glory to God. The word that stands out to me in this verse, let me read to you out of the Amplified. Can I read it to you out of the Amplified? Okay, thank you. Now unto him who, by inconsequence of the action of his power, that is, at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly. Everybody say superabundantly. I like that. He said he's able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Let me read to you again. Now unto him who, by consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. And while I was reading that last night, the word that stuck out to me in the Amplified Version is the word dare. Anybody ever taken a dare before? Anybody dare? Anybody? We was kids, we had dares. We had dare. Double dare. And then we had the double dog. Oh yeah. The double dog. You didn't use that very often because it was sacred. And if you ever had a double dog dare, if you didn't do it, ladies and gentlemen, you just chicken. You're just sissy. You big sissy. I mean, if you ever back down off a double dog dare. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God, I believe, in one sense, through verse 20 of Ephesians 3 in the Amplified Version, is saying, I can do anything. I double dog dare you to ask me.
And if you don't, you're a sissy. If you don't, you're just chicken. You're just bound by that same old stinking thinking that says, well, you know, God might be able to do it. But ladies and gentlemen, we don't serve a little bitty God. We got a great big God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can dare ask or think. Amen. Do you know what that word dare implies? How bold can you be? How bold can you be? How courageous can you be? As big as you think, and as big as you and I can think, God is saying, still, I'm bigger than that. God is saying, I dare you to ask big, I dare you to dream big, I dare you to hope big, and as big as you can hope, think, or dream, or ask, God is saying, that big? Well, I'm bigger than that. Can you think it? Can you think that? What will you dare believe God for? What will you dare to believe God for? Well, if you can think it, God's bigger than that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you an announcement. You're not going to break up God or the kingdom of heaven when you dare to ask big. How many know you're not going to make Him wring His hands? I don't know. That's a big one. Can you see that? Can you see how ridiculous that is? That you... Now, listen real carefully. Please write this down. The earth cannot create a bigger need than God's ability to supply it. The earth cannot create a need bigger than God's ability to supply it. Oh, I hope that goes off on somebody today. I hope somebody gets a hold of that. That the earth in its entirety cannot create a big enough need to squelch God's ability to supply that need. I've never heard God say, listen, man, we've got some needs up here. I mean, you know, things are tight. You know, I've never heard God say that. I've never heard Him say, you know, we've got depression going on up here. I had to lay Jesus off this morning, and the angels are on strike, and I had to sell the pearly gates to pay the note on the throne room. The value of gold is down, and the streets are worth very, very little to nothing. And you're talking to me about a need? God never says that. Amen? He never said anything like that. But you know what He does say? He said, so if you'll dare it, I'll do it. If you'll hear from God and dare to believe Him for something spectacular, He can do something spectacular. Amen? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Just back just a page or two. And I'm almost finished. But I want to preach my soul today. I want to preach out my heart today. I want to preach everything that's out of my heart today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. He did this that He might clearly demonstrate and show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Notice this verse 7 in the Amplified Version. He said, He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come that the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, His kindness and goodness of His heart towards us in Christ Jesus. What this is saying is that, what does this mean? There has never been a generation that has experienced what this generation is going to experience. We live in a strategic generation. And God says it surpasses what everybody... Now, just do this. Take your Bible and fan all the verses previously to Ephesians chapter 2. Just fan it. What He is saying... He said, God is about to do something. Now notice this. All the things that you have read. I mean, I just went through the Red Sea, the deliverance of Israel. I just went through Noah, the flood. I just went through all of this. I've just now passed through Deuteronomy, Joshua, where God takes them through the wilderness, the Jericho. I mean, all the great stories. We've just passed through all of these things, these wondrous things, all the things that Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the things that Ezekiel saw, things that Jesus did, things that Jesus saw. Ladies and gentlemen, God's saying in verse number 7 of Ephesians chapter 2 that God, whatever thing He has done, He said, I'm going to surpass everything I've ever done in the demonstration, and I'm going to demonstrate it to the generations to come. I'm going to demonstrate it in the times to come. And ladies and gentlemen, we are that generation that is going to see, not only will we see the things like what we've heard about, but we're going to see greater things, because He said, I'm going to do something bigger, but it's going to take somebody saying, I'm not going to receive the status quo. I'm not going to just live within my box. I know that my God is bigger than anything I can possibly think, say, or do. So therefore, that generation will see the salvation of God. And that's why every prophet and every man of God in the days to come wish they could have been in our generation. And when we get to heaven, you might ask them how it was when in their day. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole cloud of witnesses that's about to stand ready on the balcony of heaven, that when we get there, they're going to say, how was it like in that last day? How was it like in that last time? How was it like when the Spirit of God was upon the whole face of the earth doing what no man had ever seen done before? Oh man, you ought to give God a praise for that. Come on, let's give Him praise and magnify Him for it. It surpasses what they saw. It's limitless and it's immeasurable. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we are. We are that generation. He's talking about the last day church. We're the last day church. We're the last leg of the relay. And you always save the fastest guy for the last leg. How many watch the Olympics? You always leave, whether it's the relay in the swimming, whether it's a relay in the running, or whether it's a relay, whatever kind of relay, you always leave your fastest guy to the end. In case, just by chance, he might be a little lax, you want to give your fastest guy in the last, because you want to be able to take. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got more to our availability than any other generation has ever had. We have more possibility than any other generation has ever had. But it's going to take somebody saying, God, I'm not taking my life for accident. I'm ready to believe You for the greatest. Let me give you one more scripture. In Psalms, just write this down. Psalms chapter 60, verse 11b and 12 says this. For the help of man is useless, but through our God we shall do valiantly. For it is He who shall tread down our enemy. Glory to God. I've needed the help of man sometimes. And I could say like the psalmist, sometimes it's useless. But through God. Everybody say that. But through God we shall do valiantly. The NIV says, I believe I was reading it last night, the NIV says, but through our God we will work mighty deeds. Through God we will work mighty deeds. One more, Psalms 118, write it down. Psalms 118, verses 14 through 17. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation or my victory. Anywhere you see the word salvation, you can put the word victory, all right? Because it was our victory, that when we became saved, it was our victory over the devil. And salvation means wholeness, it means victory, it means redemption. But notice here, he says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my victory. Verse 15 says, the voice of rejoicing and victory is in the tabernacles of the righteous, because the right hand of the Lord does mighty deeds, or does valiantly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the joy shout and the joy song doesn't belong in the world, and the shouts of victory doesn't belong out on the ball field or in a dance club or anywhere else. The shout of victory and joy belongs in the tabernacle of the righteous, because we know that through our God, He's going to do valiantly. It must be past noon. Everybody's got quiet. You know, I'm getting hungry now. My point is this, don't get comfortable in the comfort zone. Don't get secure and stable in the comfort zone. Let me challenge you today, ladies and gentlemen, don't allow yourself to get
comfortable. No matter how well you may be doing or how many victories you've experienced, there's still much more. Faith is designed to work at all times. It's not designed to lie dormant. God wants us to put a greater demand upon our faith so that we can see what we've never seen before. Because as long as you're doing what you've always done, ladies and gentlemen, you're always going to keep getting what you've always gotten. But until we step out of the box and say, Lord, I dare to believe something. I dare to believe. I used to have a picture in my office, and I will when we get our office back set up. I have an office, a picture for my office that says this: excellence is going further than others think you should. It's expecting more than others believe is reasonable, and dreaming bigger than others think is safe. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world of small thinkers. The most of us, we work around people who are just riding the wave. But ladies and gentlemen, we're not called to be history repeaters. We're supposed to be history makers. We're not supposed to ride the wave. We're supposed to make the wave. And you know, along the way, you're gonna upset some people. Matter of fact, I've upset some people. I've upset some people in my time. But ladies and gentlemen, it was only because I was believing God for more than what they thought should have been. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like additional ministry material, you may contact us at Church Alive International, P.O. Box 4483, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Thank you, and God bless you.